This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الشهداء خمسة المطعون والمبطون والغريق وصاحب الهدم وفي سبيل الله. Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said that there are five types of shuhada. And another hadith he kind of points out there's a differentiation between the one who dies في سبيل الله and then those who don't. And that on the day of judgment they'll also be seen as martyrs. And في سبيل الله is anyone who passes away, anyone whose life is taken for being Muslim or for being someone who's, you know, he stands up for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands for them to stand up for. And then he talks about different categories. Al-mabtoon, someone who dies from, you know, a disease or a severe illness. Or al-mat'oon, someone who dies, you know, from an attack, being attacked or, you know, being stabbed and mistreated. Al-ghariq, someone who drowns. Sahib al-hadam, someone whose house burns or falls upon them. Well, you know, these are the different categories. Ahl Ghazza are all of them, by the way, like all of them put together. You can just choose all, each one of them is basically mat'oon and mabtoon and ghariq and sahib hadam and fi sabilillah, all together. But what I want to talk about tonight, just briefly, because it's, yeah, it's June 6th, and this is, for me, it depends on where you were and how long you've been here, and maybe and whether you knew the people or not, how personally you'll take this issue. And I understand that, and I don't, you know, I don't think that you should be, it should be different for you. But you know, June 6th to me was a very personal, what happened was very, very personal to me, like extremely personal. I knew this family very, very well. I saw Brother Salman rahmatullah alayhi twice a day for 5 years straight, for every Maghrib and every Isha. He was there for every, I don't think he missed a Maghrib or Isha for the whole time he lived in this city, rahmatullah, ever. He was there for every Maghrib and every Isha at LMM. I saw him every single day, at least twice, if not three times at Fajr. I used to give a halaqah back at, you know, the Sunday halaqah that I give here after Maghrib. I started back in LMM, and I used to give it at the kind of back part of the men's section. And I used to give it there because his wife, Allah yarhamha, she wanted to attend the halaqah, and I wasn't given the microphone back in LMM for reasons I won't disclose today. I didn't have the microphone, so I had to give it in a place where they could hear me. So I would go and sit right there so that she could hear. So she would be right behind the masahif. She could hear me behind, and she would bring a friend or two and to listen to it. But she was the only lady who attended this halaqah for four and a half years. Yani, and I taught her the Allahumma yumna in school for 3 years, grade 5, 6, and 7. I was her Islamic studies teacher back at LA. So I know this family very well, and what happened to them is something that is, yani, when we say unimaginable, no, it's imaginable. It's unacceptable, really. It's not unimaginable. It's imaginable. But it's unacceptable what actually occurred to them, because they didn't do anything. This man was, he was like me. He was a IMG. He was a physician back from where he came from. And he came here, and he was a couple of years ahead of me, and he tried to get into the system. He couldn't, so he gave up, and he did physiotherapy, and he made a living off of it. And rahmatullah alayha, his wife, was an advanced, I think, engineer, wallahu alam, with a PhD. And she was, yani, mashallah, advancing her knowledge. They did nothing aside from just be good people. Just be just like you. So everyone in this masjid, if you're in this masjid and you come here for Isha almost every night, that's exactly what this family was. They just people who came to the masjid every night, brought their kids, they prayed their salawat, they attended the halaqat, and they, you know, they gave their sadaqat, and they were part of everything. And they just took a stroll one day. That's the only mistake that they made. You know, they decided to take a walk. And this occurred to them. And it's actually sunnah for us to remember our martyrs. They are shuhada. They are the, yani, they fulfill the definition of the shuhada fi sabilillah in every way. They are people who died for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the reason that they were targeted, the reason that they lost their lives was because they were visibly people who obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They made their Islam visible. They didn't hide it. Atlaqa Allah yarhamu Salman lihyatahu. And his wife wore her hijab. They were visibly Muslim. They were obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala visibly, and they were targeted for it. So there is no way for you to define their, you know, the loss of their life aside from shahada, from martyrism. There's no other way for this. And it's not one of the secondary categories of shahada. No, it's the main category of shahada. They died fi sabilillah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they lost their lives. And it's sunnah for us to remember our shahada. The Prophet alayhi salam did this once a week. Once a week, he would go to, on every Saturday morning. Every Saturday morning, he went to Shuhada Uhud. Every Saturday morning, the day he died, alayhi salatu wasalam. The only Saturday he wouldn't go is if he was away on a conquest or he was musafir. But if he was away, even when he was ill, even the last weekend of his life, when he was too ill to stand, they carried him to Maqbarat Uhud. They carried him because that was his sunnah. He would go every Saturday. And he was, and that was the time where he said, "Yani wa inni insha'Allahu bikum lahiqan," the known hadith. And I am following you very soon. Usually the dua is different, and he changed it that one day because it was right before the day that the week he died. He passed away alayhi salam Monday. And he fadat ruhu sharifa Monday alayhi salam. He was there Saturday to visit them. So remembering our martyrs is something that's important for us as a community, to remember the fact that they carried something on our behalf, that they took on the punch for all of us. They took it and they absorbed it. It hit them. It took their lives. It took their ambitions and their hopes and their dreams and their future. And it took them away from their loved ones and their family. And remembering them, what it's supposed to do for us, it's supposed to keep the legacy alive. It's supposed to keep the commitment to what they represented ongoing, to keep it strong, that you don't forget it. The Prophet ﷺ, when he visited the Shuhada, it was to honor their sacrifice. It was to honor their bravery and their courage and the fact that they did what they did that day. It was hard. Uhud was a hard day. These people stood their ground and they lost their lives for it. So the Prophet ﷺ never forgot this sacrifice. And for me, when I think about this family, I don't like saying it could have been us. It was us. It was each and every one of us, because nothing that they did is something that you can say, "Well, I wouldn't do that," or "I don't." There's nothing they didn't. I know them. There was nothing. They were just they're normal. So when you remember them so that we continue the legacy of our deen. Of being Muslim and practicing Islam and being a part of a community and standing our ground. And that's why we remember them. Remember them so that continues to be who we are. We don't allow their lives and their deaths to go in vain, to be forgotten, to be put aside, and for us to continue as if it didn't happen. No, it has to mean something for us. Think about it. It has to mean something to us. And if that's how it's supposed to be for us in terms of these four individuals, rahmatullah alayhim, who passed away 3 years ago, imagine all the Muslim children and people who are dying every moment for the last 9 months. When people pay the price of being Muslim with their lives, with their blood, it's supposed to be for us a reminder of the value of being Muslim and the importance of holding on to Islam and continuing the legacy and continuing to practice and protect and stand for what is right. Because the moment you allow yourself to forget it and you allow their suffering to go in vain, because you wouldn't be okay with your suffering going in vain. Because if you suffered for the sake of Allah, if you suffered because you were Muslim, and if you were suffered because you were just a person who carried Islam and practiced it and you suffered, then you wouldn't be okay with your Muslim brothers and sisters to completely overlook that, forget about it, or sideline it as a no. You want it to be central in there because it's your life; it matters to you. So treat people the way you would like to be treated had you been in their shoes. What would you have wanted had you been? May Allah Subhanahu protect all of us, and all of you. Had it been you, what would you have wanted for us to do after you, if you were yanked out of this world way too early? If you were separated from your family for no sin that you committed, how would you want your Muslim brothers and sisters who are a part of your community to behave after you? And that's what it means to remember martyrs. Remembering shuhada, that's what it does. What would I have wanted if I was in his position? And then I continue that moving forward. And that's what we owe them, really. Rahmatullah alayhim ajma'in. We owe them that. We owe them to honor their memory through continuing to be a stronger community. To strengthen ourselves here within this country and to perform proper da'wah and to educate and to allow the next generation to never think about this again, to never fear standing at a street light wearing a galabiyya or wearing a hijab or feeling that by doing that you're somehow breaking a norm or playing a risk. And that's our job here. And I wanted to share that with you tonight and make dua for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the highest ranks in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower them with mercy. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue to walk the path that they walked in their lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us with them on the doors of Jannah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant within the hearts of those whom they left behind serenity and tranquility. Allahumma ameen. And inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow the Jumu'ah is 3:15 here. I'll be giving it at UWO at 12 o'clock. And Eid bi'idhnillahi ta'ala is Sunday, inshallah. So tonight is the first night of the first 10 days of the Hijjah. As of this moment, you are now in the first 10 days of the Hijjah. The hadith you'll be hearing over the next few nights, we'll be talking about the fadl and the ajr of these 10 days. They're the most important, you know, the most important 10 days of the year. If the last 10 nights of Ramadan are the most important last 10 nights of the year, these are the most valuable 10 days of the year. So make sure you think about your plan of good deeds and reward, and fast if you're capable, and give sadaqah and perform a lot of dhikr and read the Quran and salli ala nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, sallu ala sayyidina rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as much as possible, as that is the sunnah of the night of Jumu'ah and these 10 nights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ajr of these 10 nights, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the hajj of those who perform hajj and grant us the ability to perform hajj inshallah the year after. Jazakumullah khair wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله.